Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, give me a hot second here.
Hold on.
Miles. Okay, let me try to get some other people in here that I invited, that I want to attend this. Okay, this is going to be a great program. And one more person. And I apologize for the silence. Give me a hot second here, please. Computer issues. All right. That being said, as I said, I want to greet you all and welcome you to Yahshua Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles, and this is spiritual wellness. But on tonight, what I want to cover, there is a program from the USDA out, and anybody can apply. This was first introduced for blacks who had been discriminated against by the USDA, but then the white farmers complained, and the president closed down the program because white farmers complained about it, that they were being excluded from this. And then they reopened the program, and anybody can apply. And so I'm going to tell you how to apply. Each one of you will want to do this. It won't matter whether you're male or female. You can also apply for your ancestors all the way back to 1967, okay? There's $2 billion that this program is giving out, and right now they're saying it's $50,000 that you can get. Apply, then what happens is that the amount that the people who are who have applied and been found to be eligible, that amount will go up, so you may get more than $50,000. Anyway, I wanted to share it with, everybody in my group and everybody in the ministry, that listen to this ministry. And then I was going to share it with some other people. Now, I've invited some people, and I'm going to see if they show up because I know that this will be a blessing to them. But if they don't show up, I won't be sharing with them. This is going to be the only day that I share it. Okay, so if you're here, then you are blessed for being obedient and showing up. You can't file for your children. You can't file for, children that are less than 27 years old. Okay? But you can apply for your dead mother, your dead father, as long as they died as long as they died after 1967. You can still apply for them. Your grown children can apply. And I was going to try to get, you can apply yourself, but I recommend that you don't apply yourself. Just a second here as I try to get into this computer. You don't apply yourself and that you apply the way that I'm going to tell you to apply, because these people know how to make you qualify. It does cost some money. And I will let them tell you how much it's going to cost, because I've done, my whole family and some other people, about 10 people within the family, and getting ready to do, my mother and my father, and apply for them because they both have passed away. But you can still apply and receive money on their behalf, okay? And so I wanted to share this. My system is just coming up. and I'm trying to get the room up. The certificate for the server expired. Somebody's been in my office playing around because the key fob for the wireless mouse and computer is missing. Don't know where it went. So I need to update the certificate on that server so that it will allow you know you to connect. Right now, if you try to go to meetings.glorytr.com, then it tells you that the certificate is expired to, you know, connect. And so that's why I had you all call in here. So let me, since I'm behind the power curve here, let me open up a couple of things. We will pray in, and then we will get into this. I wanted to be able to give you the fullness on this program. Each one of you will have to make up your own mind what you want to do with this information. As I said, I filed, and right now I've probably spent about 500. But that 500 will bring back, after everybody's qualified at the end of the year, about 250,000. Okay, but you know, that's me, a wife, and three kids. The kids have to file for themselves. They're grown. If they're over 27, then they can file for themselves. You couldn't file for them anyway. But I still want to share the information with you, and so that if you have the money or you're able to get the money, then you file for this, because once it's closed, it's going to be closed. Okay? This was opened in 2011, and then it went into, you know, people were getting $30,000 back and that kind of stuff. And then, as I said, white farmers complained that, you know, they weren't eligible for this, so that it was discriminatory. Even though the program was initiated, disparities and the discrimination that they had, you know, that the USDA has traditionally practiced against black farmers and people of color, okay? And so they were trying to start to even out the playing field and getting money into black farmers' hands or descendants of black farmers. Now, you may not even have farmers in your family, okay, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you have a farmer in your family, they will get you qualified, okay? But the way that you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to go through this one young lady to do this, okay? So let me bring up our statement of faith. And as my machine is coming up here, we will go ahead and get into this. For those of you who are being part of the community, you know, I'm going to ask you to do this as part of the community. It's another way that we can help fund the community. The money that I get, it will all go toward the community to help fulfill what we're trying to do. If you do the same, then we'll be that much closer. For those that are not part of the community and not taking part of that, this is just so that you can, you know, be blessed and take and have a benefit towards it, okay? So let us do our statement of faith. We may have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. And let us go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify your name and we lift you up and we magnify you, oh Yah Elohim. We magnify you, we magnify you, we magnify you. And we bow down before you, Father, and we pay homage to you. And only you will we worship and adore, Father. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise on this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, oh Yah Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Our scripture for today. Well, let me go ahead and pray us in. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for today, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let me open up another program here. Sounding of the so far.
will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of. I made up in my mind, I'll say yeah. My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there is more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will, to do my
on the line. So if you've got noise in the background, mute your phone from your end. Have questions. So, and you see where this noise is coming from. Okay, I found it there. All right. So your lines are open. I'm going to read, or let me give everybody who is not been here before a little bit of a background on this and what we're doing. We have been in the process of, you know, filling out grants from the USDA based upon our farm, Yes to Run Farms. And in that process, my wife, Sharon, found that this program that was out in 2011, one of her friends in Mississippi applied and they got $30,000. And so they were helping people to get this, and then the program was shut down. It was restarted in March of this year. And the program is called the USDA Loan Assistance Program, or it's the USDA Farm Loan Bias Remedy Program, the Bias Remedy Program. to get, where was I at, getting these texts, you know, to receive money from the USDA. What they're trying to do, traditionally the USDA has traditionally been discriminatory, you know, discriminate against blacks and other, you know, minorities in the country. And from the time of its inception, still until the day, they have, you know, still had these biases in their loan programs where the vast majority of these loans would go to white farmers and what have you. Now, again, when they initially announced this program, the white farmers came against it and said, hey, now you're discriminating against us, okay? When the bottom line is, because of the USDA's past discriminatory practices, they came out with this program to try to help those people that USDA had discriminated against. So this young lady had done this back in 2011, was successful at getting the money, okay? She told my wife about it again, and this time it is open, and anybody can apply. So we want to have, whether you are a farmer or not, and I was trying to find, you know, where you can get the application at. I think you can call a number and have them to send you the application, but you really don't want to do that. Now, what I'm going to share with you today, anybody that I invited that did not show up, I will not give them this information that I'm giving you now. They will not get it, okay, for just being disobedient. They will not get it, okay? So I will tell them where to get the application at. If you fill out the application incorrectly, 9 times out of 10, you will be denied. You will not qualify. So the information I'm going to give you is a person of contact. They will fill out the application for you, and they will make sure that you get qualified. Once you are qualified, then you're just waiting for the funds to be dispersed, which will be later on in the year, okay? And so that is what we're doing today. I've, you know, told people you can come and find out about this. Once I find out, you know, I got the website now, I will put all that information in an email. The young lady who is doing this, she is becoming overwhelmed with it. A lot of people filing. She's busy. And she may not be able to handle the load herself, okay? And so if you're going to do this, you want to do it as soon as possible. And then you wait for the government to send you the check, okay? Now, as I said, you can also file for deceased relatives that all the way back to 1967. If they died after 1967, then you can still file for them, and you would receive the money that they would have gotten, okay? And so we want to do this. I want to read to you some things from their website. I wish we could have gone to, you know, the classroom, but the classroom you can't get into right now, so we'll do it this way. I will send out to you guys here personally an email with the contact phone number. I'm not going to put that number in the email because, as I said, you know, most people that I know, they need money. But, you know, when Yah is blessing, things like that's when people want to be, you know, they want to be disobedient. They, you know, they don't want to show up. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. And then they miss their blessing. Okay. So I will send them out the information, but I will not give out this woman's contact number because I don't want to overwhelm her where she's not able to do it. And the fewer people that apply, the more you get in the end. But I do want to, you know, give them the opportunity. I'll give them the website. You can go and call and ask for this, you know, ask and get this, fill out this application. But this young lady she knows what the correct answers are for the application, and so they make sure that you get qualified, okay, for this. Now, as I said, this was for black farmers originally, and now it is open to the general public and you know, you may not know who in your family ever applied for a loan with the USDA or had a farm or anything like that. The problem is that with most of these programs, I did not find this. It took me a hard time to actually find this program under the USDA. Even having the name of the program, it was hard to find it up under the USDA. And then it doesn't have, they are giving this out to third parties to actually administer it, law firms and things like that. So, you know, if it's a law firm, then they're getting their cut of it, so forth and so on, but they're guaranteeing that you're going to get $50,000 out of it, okay? So you're going to want to do this. Think back on, you know, anybody in your family that might have died. If you have their death certificate, you have their date of birth, the last four of their social, then you can apply on their behalf. And you would be able to, you know, get the money, okay? And because of how they're doing this. Or they weren't having enough people to apply, and so that was a problem. They want to give this money out, and this is part of, you know, them trying to make things equal. But because, you know, the white farmers were saying, hey, now you're discriminated against us, then they had to change the rules of the program. So I'm going to read this to you. This is from March 1st, 2023. USDA announced its next steps in providing financial assistance to borrowers who have faced discrimination. Today, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, announced the first steps in its process for providing financial assistance to farmers, ranchers, or forest landowners who have previously suffered discrimination with respect to USDA farm lending programs. In addition, USDA set a target of distributing the allocated funds, which were authorized by the Inflation Reduction Act, out to borrowers by the end of 2023, the end of this year. Once they're gone at the end of this year, you can't apply anymore. Okay, it's gone. This process has been carefully designed in accordance with the IRA, the Federal Acquisition Regulation, holder input. Specifically, Section 22007 of the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, signed into law by President Biden in August of 2022, directs the USDA to provide financial assistance to producers who have experienced discrimination in the USDA farm lending program and has appropriated $2.2 billion for this program. Under the law, the Secretary of Agriculture is responsible for administering the assistance through qualified non-governmental entities under standards set by the USDA. These funds are yet another stepping stone in the long march toward justice and inclusion, inclusive equity USDA. Well, I read that wrong. These funds are yet another stepping stone in the long march toward justice and inclusive, equitable USDA through this program and a neutral, comprehensive financial assistance process. USDA will acknowledge wrongs of the past and open up avenues that provide farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners who have experienced discrimination by USDA the opportunity to be heard, said Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. In providing this financial assistance, our goal is to make sure eligible people have adequate, understandable information about what is available to them and how to apply and what to expect from the USDA. We are applying these same principles to make sure all Americans know how to engage with the USDA service, prevent more inequities, and build new levels of trust with the People's Department going forward. Following President Biden signing the IRA, USDA took immediate steps to convene listening sessions and seek public comments about the design of the program to make sure farmers, advocates, academics, legislators, tribal governments, and other experts were heard. Following President, now, in accordance with the requirements of the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the Department will soon issue contracts to non-governmental program administrators, as the IRA specifies, that will coordinate the delivery of the national program of financial assistance to impacted farmers, ranchers, or forest landholders. The vendors will include a national administrator to oversee the program and four regional hubs that we set up to solicit and process applications efficiently. 10, 2023, to have the name of the contact information of their organization added to a list of interested potential partner organizations that we've made available to all regional hub interested vendors. In addition to a national administration and regional hub, USDA will partner with community-based organizations across the country with experience in agriculture and reach out and reach into underserved communities, building on work underway with existing cooperators and guarantees through NIFA, FSA, NRCS, and OTPE. I don't know what these other organizations are. I know what FSA is, Farm Services Agency, National Resource Conservation Service. I don't know what OTPE is or NIFA. I don't know who they are. I'd have to look them up. These organizations will conduct outreach and ensure potential applicants are informed about the program and have the opportunity to apply. Organizations that would like to serve as cooperators should express their interest through an email by March 31st, 2023. So these organizations that are doing the disbursing of these funds have already been assigned, and now they're looking for the people who have been, you know, had loan bias applied to them or their ancestors, by the USDA. Okay, and so, you know, you may not know if your ancestors had a farm or, you know, if they lost the land because they couldn't get a loan, they couldn't get the funding that they were supposed to get, that traditional white farmers have gotten in the past. And so they lost their land, they lost the farm, they were not able to produce or whatever. So because you are a descendant of them or could be a descendant of them, then you can apply. Okay, and so you just apply and they will, you know, answer the questions and get you qualified. Okay, whether you know it or not, or if you don't have the information, you just need to, you're going to need to provide the information that I tell you that you're going to need to give to them. But also, the young lady I'm going to put you in contact with, you're going to need to ask her what her fee is, because I don't know what her fee will be for each individual. Okay, let's go. So I think it's around 200, but you will have to ask her. The department anticipates final selection of the vendors managing the program to occur late spring of 2023, as soon as the national administrator, regional hubs, and cooperators are selected and prepared to begin application process. USDA will work with them to determine the application period, with the goal of having payments made by the end of 2023. So if you apply and you do it the way we tell you to do it, then you should be qualified and you will be paid by the end of 2023, okay? The department will also reach out to trusted cooperators that can further assist eligible farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners near their location. These trusted cooperators will be drawn from those longstanding experienced agricultural technical assistance, outreach and support for the farming community. By taking these important steps to fulfill the mandates of Section 20207, USDA hopes to recognize and acknowledge the discrimination suffered by individuals, take steps to rebuild trust with the community, and create a better and stronger U.S. agriculture that is more diverse and resilient. This is one piece of a much broader effort at the USDA to improve equity and access and eliminate barriers to its programs for underserved individuals and communities. More information about this work can be accessed at usda.gov equity, where USDA will continue to share updates on its progress. USDA touches the life of all Americans each day in so many positive ways. Under the Biden-Harris administration, USDA is transforming America's food system with a greater focus on more resilient local and regional food production, promoting competition and fair market for all producers, ensuring access to safe, healthy, and nutritious food in all communities, building new markets and streams of income for farmers and producers using climate-smart food and history and forestry practices, making historic investments in infrastructure and clean energy capabilities in rural America, and committing to equity across the department by removing systematic barriers and building a workforce more representative of America. To learn more, visit www.usda.gov. All right, that being said, we had already applied for a grant from the NRCS to become technical trainers for the NRCS and to provide information on their program to historically underserved producers. But that includes people who do like urban agriculture, where if you're growing something even in your apartment, if you find one of those hydroponic grow units, that type of stuff, reaching out, because what they're trying to do in some of these programs is to, you know, let people, inform people about these programs and give them access to resources. In this case, this is blacks and farmers being denied loan settlement. The blacks and farmers being denied the loan settlement program. And so the young lady, the number that I'm going to give out to you guys and her name, you need to, I want you to email me. So write down my email address. I'm going to give it to you now. HORACE.MILES@gmail.com. When I receive an email from you, I will send you her contact name and her number and the information you need to provide to her. I'm going to put the other information, I was trying to send it out in a mass email earlier, but the email wasn't working. My computer needed to update. As a matter of fact, I need to check that now. And send it out. But unless she tells me that she's able to handle the load, then I don't want a whole lot of people calling her. You guys, I want you to call, and I want you to be blessed, and your families to be blessed. But you know, anybody else, I'm going to give them the information. And they can get the application and send it in. But again, if you don't know how to fill out the application, it will probably disqualify you. Okay. Don't know if that's fair or not, but you know, when you tell people to come, it's important, and they choose not to come, then oh well, that happens. Okay. So let's see what else I have. So specifically on this program, the USDA Farm Loan Bias Remedy Program is a program designed to provide financial compensation to farmers, ranchers, and land owners who experienced loan discrimination prior to January of 2021 when applying for USDA loans. These programs provide economic relief to eligible individuals who were subject to discriminatory practices by the USDA based upon their race, color, national origin, gender, religion, age, disability, or marital familial status, family status, and promote equal access to credit for all eligible individuals. It provides financial compensation to eligible individuals who have suffered economic losses as a result of discriminatory practices by the USDA. The amount of compensation provided under the program is based upon the economic losses suffered by the applicant. To be eligible for the program, applicants must demonstrate that they were subject to discrimination when applying for USDA loans. The program is open to farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners who were denied USDA loans, receiving less favorable loan terms than other applicants, or were otherwise treated unfairly by the USDA due to discriminatory practices. Applicants are encouraged to contact their local USDA center for more information or on how to apply and determine their eligibility for the program. Additional information about the USDA Farm Loan Bias Remedy Program is also available on the USDA website. Let me go here. I looked this up. Now, this information that I'm about to read to you now is not off of the USDA site. okay? But it does explain the program, and what you have to understand that this is, you know, if you yourself weren't denied, one of your ancestors may have been denied, okay? The Inflation Reduction Act, signed by President Biden in August 2022, aims to tackle inflation by injecting money into the market. As part of this act, discrimination financial assistance will be provided to farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners. Now, this is their attempt. This is the Biden administration, because this program first came out in 2011. They revived it in 2022. The white farmers came against it. Or they revived it before 2022, but the white farmers came against it, so they tried to revive it again to address discrimination against black farmers and, you know, underserved communities. So this is their attempt to do it, but they had to include everybody in it. At first, it was intended to only address discrimination amongst black farmers. Discrimination financial assistance that are faced when discrimination prior to 1 January 2021 due to their race, gender, sexual orientation, or other categories. So first it was race, black farmers. Then they had to add gender and sexual orientation or other categories. Okay. The USDA has a longstanding history of discrimination in its lending process. The Act provides a total of $2.2 billion for these claims with a maximum of $500,000 available per claim. While the Act is a positive step toward addressing discrimination, there are expected to be many questions regarding the approval process. For instance, what qualifies as discrimination and who is eligible for financial assistance? The approval process is also expected to be lengthy and involve extensive review of evidence and documentation relating to discrimination. What is discrimination? Discrimination can take various forms that may be covered by discrimination financial assistance, require indirect financial proof, and examination of the conduct, actions, or decisions of the loan officer. Some examples of evidence may include or may indicate discrimination include loan denials based upon a person's race, sex, gender, political affiliation, or other characteristics, especially if the denial is made in favor of someone the loan officer knew and preferred. Unfair loan terms or changes that stop cash flow, such as changes that were not approved by the borrower or that were not communicated to the applicant. Deferred or delayed loans that cause the applicant to miss a harvest season or otherwise harm their farming operations. Excessive collateral requirements that are unreasonable or discouraging to the applicant. Insistence on loan officer involvement that interfere with the farmer's rights. Other forms of discrimination that harm farmers may also be covered by the IRA. In general, discrimination may occur when a person is from applying. Now, this right here, I think if we're smart, and I don't know exactly how they're answering these questions, but if I was personally applying myself, then I would say this particular statement, when you are discouraged from applying. So if you read up on the USDA's discriminatory practice, and let's say you said, hey, I did this in 1998, let's pick a year. I did this in 1998. I was considered going into farming, and I was, you know, teaching myself how to farm, yada, 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 and I was going to apply for a loan. But then I talked to some black farmers, and they told me that, hey, they won't help us, and they won't give you anything. And I was discouraged from applying. That would qualify. Just being discouraged from applying for a loan. So you can say, too, I was doing these things, and after I did some research, I was discouraged from filing. How much were you filing for? Yeah, that's going to be up to you. what you say there or what the person would say. Again, and even this information, I will not share with everybody, but, you know, for those of you who are here, having done the research and getting the numbers for our grant, then this is the way that I would think, even if you had never actually really farmed, but you had even thought about it once, then you could say, hey, I was discouraged from filing for the loan. And you would qualify for this, okay? And so let's keep moving on. Types of lending. To be eligible under the IRA, the discrimination must have occurred specifically in relation to a USDA farm lending program. Eligibility depends upon the loan type and where the discrimination occurred. USDA loans, direct FSA farm loans, discrimination in connection with these types of loans creates eligibility for assistance. Non-farm loans at the USDA, discrimination in USDA programs that do not involve farm loans does not create eligibility. So you would want to go with the direct FSA farm loan. That's what you were applying for. Then if you were going from a private lender, discrimination by a private lender for an FSA guaranteed loan, this creates liability. It is likely that discrimination by the private lender alone, not the FSA, will also qualify. Non-FSA guaranteed private loans, discrimination on non-FSA guaranteed loans generally does not qualify. So they're telling you here what you really have to know to qualify. Okay? Determining eligibility for discrimination financial assistance can be challenging, and consulting with a skilled attorney can help evaluate your legal rights and how to proceed with the claim. Allocation to discrimination financial assistance program under the IRA has a total of $2.2 billion set aside with a maximum of $500 per claim. However, there are concerns about whether the allocated funds will be sufficient to assist all those who need it. Congress may allocate additional funds, that this is not guaranteed. And so while these funds are available, you want to get on the list and become qualified. And as I said, the number that I'm going to give you, if you email me, the number and the name and the information that I know that you're supposed to have, I will email you this information. And but this information will not be emailed out to the group en masse, okay? I will email the information, but they won't get the contact number in there. Funding for the program must be used by September 31st or September 30th, 2031. So it is important not to delay in filing a claim. Waiting too long may result in the funds being exhausted before the deadline. The deadline leaving you without assistance. Therefore, it is crucial to seek legal advice and guidance as soon as possible to determine if you qualify and to make action before it's too late. Now, this young lady is working with a law firm already. She takes her information. She submits it to the law firm. They answer the questions, and they qualify. Okay? Get you qualified for this. Okay? And then you would be receiving the funds. Okay? Are there any questions? And your mics are open. Let me open up.
I have a question, Brother Ryle.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this a loan or a grant?
Neither.
Oh, okay.
This is neither. This is, they're going to give you the money. This is like a compensation for past discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this compensation for past discrimination It could have been discrimination against your ancestors. Hear what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
you
may not know.
Because I have a deed for property in Arkansas, and it is my grandfather. And after my grandfather passed, my mom was trying to get a loan to keep that, you know, to keep the property, but they was denied.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when did she die?
And I asked, oh, my grandfather?
No, your mother, your mother.
Oh, my mom died in 2002.
In when, 2022?
Yep.
Okay, so you could file on behalf of your mother.
Okay, because I still got the deed and everything.
Yeah, you can file and say, and then just say, maybe you don't know how much the loan was that she tried to get.
Right.
But I would say, you know, I would find out what is max and say that she tried to file for that amount.
Okay.
Okay. So you can file for yourself and you can file for your mother. Each individual gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, you know, let's say that you only got the $50K. You couldn't get the $500,000, okay? Then you would get $50K for yourself and you would get $50K for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Okay. You want to file for this, and then you want to file for, have your children file for it? Because they would be eligible? So you have your children file for it, would file for it. If it's you, I would say you file for, if anybody died after 1967 in your family, and you are able to get, you know, their the last four of their social, have their birth date, and I think you have to have a copy of the death certificate.
Okay, I got all
then
that.
You, huh?
I have all that.
Then you could apply for anybody in your family, even if they have already passed, as long as they passed after 1967. And if you have that information, the last four of their school, a copy of the death certificate, and especially since y'all own land, but even if you didn't own land, they could have lost the land, they could have been trying to get land. Doesn't matter. If you do what I'm asking you to do, telling you to do, then the young lady will make sure that you get qualified and that you receive the money, okay? She's not doing it for free. That's the thing here. You will not process the application for free. So it's going to cost you, like I said, maybe $200. But you, in your case, you can get from anywhere from $50,000 to what, $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have anybody else in your family that has passed, and you got, you know, you have those documents where you can get them, then you can also apply for them because it's your ancestors as well, okay?
Okay.
Even if it's it. Okay, anybody else have any questions?
I don't have any.
Okay, so if you will go ahead and send me an email at horace@gmail.com, and I'm going to go into my Gmail now, then I will send out this information to you. And like I said, it's up to you. It's up to you if you apply. Okay. And for those that, as I said, that are taking part in YFCC, if we move this way and do this, then this is also a way for us to fund what we're attempting to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, and if you're not part of the community, you're not trying to be part of the community, then you still use the information to get the money for yourself. All right?
Okay.
So do help people who are listening that aren't participating in that community. Okay? But they're here. They showed up. So I'm going to give them the information. You got to email me at forest.miles@gmail.com. And when I get your email, then I will put the information in there. And then whoever you share it with, that's up to you. I'm sharing it with you. Okay?
Okay.
Amen?
So what do you do? Just email, send us the information?
Ask that again, my sister.
So what do we send on the email to you? Send us the information?
Just send me the email saying, I want to apply for the $50,000, okay?
Okay.
That can just
okay.
be the subject. I want to apply
okay.
for the $50,000. I will send you the email with the woman's contact information. You contact her. She has been successful in this program. My wife and my kids got qualified already. So we're going to be waiting for, you know, this money to come in at the end of the year. So I wanted to share it with you guys. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So just send me an email and say, hey, I want to apply for the $50,000. That way I'll know that you're wanting to apply. And then I will
mm-hmm.
send you this information that you're going to need to have the information that you're going to need to have to provide to this young lady when you call her, and then you'll receive an email once she applies for you. Here's what you don't want to do, okay? You don't want to go in and try to fill out the application yourself. All right?
Okay.
You don't
yeah.
want to do that because if you fill out the application incorrect, and then they disqualify you, okay? You won't receive the money. But she knows how the questions need to be answered, and that's really what we're paying for. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, she understands how the application needs to be filled out. They will fill it out for you, and they will make sure that you get the money. All right?
Okay.
All right. So that is how we're going to proceed. You don't have to send me any of your information. Because I can't apply for you. You have to apply for yourself. And then if he asks you who referred you, just say Sharon or Horace Miles, okay?
Okay.
Just say Sharon or Horace Miles referred you. That way she'll know how many people I'm referring to her. If she says she has more capacity to take more people, then I'll share the same information with, you know, other people to make sure that they are able to, successfully apply. Now, I've sent the same, request out to different pastors, and it looks like all of them refused to come. Then when I send the email out, I won't give them this information. But sometimes you just have to be, obedient?
Right.
Okay. So I already received an email from one of the sisters saying, hey, I want to apply. And so I'm going to send her the information. And
I'm here trying, Brother Miles.
Amen.
What I'm not doing. Anyway, doing what I want to do.
Okay, so let me send this off. Okay. All right, let's see who else has replied to this. So, for, as I said, for all those who are participating in Yesharon Farms Community Co-op, we have all agreed that we will have all things in common, that we will share everything. So, as I said, each person who applies gets their own check, their own money. Hello, Aki. I'm in the meeting. You asked me to call in. What number are you calling? Okay, the number is 516-453-9909. All right. See you in a few. Come on.
I just sent mine, Brother Miles. Did you get it?
Hold on a second. Let me look. Okay. I got Denise Harris twice.
Because I didn't know I was doing the right thing the first time, so I did it again.
Amen. It's always good to make sure, right?
Right.
Amen. All right. So there it is for you. And then my sister here. All right. Let's see. Just a second here. Okay, let me come back to the room here. wonder. All right. All right. Pastor Jones. Shalom, Aki.
Yes, shalom.
All right. I was had this meeting to share some information with my congregation and those of us that were taking part in YFCC, and then want to share it with other pastors, okay? I don't know if your family, anybody in your family ever tried to do any farming, okay? But the government has a program where they are paying out money for discrimination, for past discrimination, for loans that were denied for discrimination, okay? Now, you don't have to have been a farmer. One of your ancestors might have been. But that's really not important. The young lady that is helping us to apply for this that has gotten, you know, my wife and my family qualified for this to receive this money, there, you know, you can get up you'll get back. They're saying right now the payment is $50,000, but, you know, you and your wife can apply separately. That will be $100,000. Then I know you got one or two sons. As long as they're over 27 years old, they can apply.
Me.
And they would also receive $50,000 apiece. Okay? And so you don't have to have been a farmer. And you don't, you know, you need to apply since you called in. Then I want you to send me an email. Okay? And so write this down, Pastor, to Horace, H-O-R-A-C-E, dot Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at gmail.com, okay? Just send me an email there because the mass emails that I'm going to send out to the rest of the congregation and to these other pastors that I know, I'm going to tell them about the program, but I'm not going to give them this phone number that I'm sharing here, okay? And if you contact this young lady, she's becoming very busy. She will put in your application for you and get you qualified. Okay? So what you would want to do is you apply and then your wife apply. If you have any relatives, your mother, your father, anybody in your family that has passed, since 1967, okay? You could, if you have access to their Social Security number and have a copy of their death certificate, you could also apply for them and have them qualified and receive the money on their behalf. Let me say that again. If you have your father, your mother, your wife's father, your wife's mother, an aunt, an uncle that may have been discriminated against or may have wanted to do farming, may have did farming, and they were just discouraged from doing it because of the discrimination policies of the USDA. Okay? Then if they have passed, then and you have a copy of their death certificate or can get a copy of it, then you can apply on their behalf too because it's your ancestors, okay? If they are still alive, your family members who are still alive, if you share this information with them, they apply, they would also get $50,000. Share it with your congregation. But send me an email and let me know how many you're sharing it with so I can prepare this young lady for what's coming.
Can we get that email, your email that you sent it to again?
Name, dot last name at gmail.com. Horace.miles at gmail.com.
Okay. What is this for my brother?
I'm sorry, Sister Jones, what'd you say?
Hi, how you doing? Okay.
All right.
What are we applying for?
You're applying to receive money for blacks and farmers that have been denied loans in the past.
Okay.
It's not a loan you're applying for. You're applying to be compensated for being discriminated against.
Okay. And how do we do it?
The email, and I will send you the information.
Okay. All right.
Okay. But you don't want to try to apply for this yourself, okay? I'm going to give you a young lady's number, name and her number. You're going to want to call her. And you're going to want to apply through her because she knows how to answer all the questions on the application. And they won't tell you the questions on the application, okay?
Okay, so you need death certificate?
If you're going to apply for somebody who's dead, you need their death certificate.
Okay, what if it's somebody living?
If it's somebody living, if they got to be older than 27, they have to apply themselves.
Okay.
Okay. And not unless you have a power of attorney for them.
Okay. So in the email, what you want me to send you?
Just say you want to apply for the program.
Yes.
Yeah, just say that.
Send me the email.
You want to apply for the program, and I will send you the information.
Okay. And if it's somebody in the church.
If it's somebody in the church, you will have the information to share with them.
Okay. Got you. Okay, then. We'll send you the email.
Okay. All right, because we want to be a blessing. You know, we want to be a blessing. And we want you, for people who are going to be, as I said, you got to be obedient. That's why I'm glad you called in. Because I would have told you about the program, but the number that I'm giving you to this young lady, I would not have shared that.
Great.
Okay.
And
so,
she's going to know that you gave us the number.
Yeah, I'm going to give you her name and her number. You'll call her. She's going to be extremely busy, so she'll have to call you back, okay? But you want to go through her. Okay? You want to go through her because they know how to answer the questions in the application, all right?
Okay.
You can apply yourself.
In the name of the... In the name of... when we do contact her, what do we tell her we want to apply for?
I will put that also in the email, but you're applying for the black farmers. Blacks and farmers being discriminated, being denied loans, settlement. Okay. There's a settlement for people who have been discriminated for loans, and they will, I'll tell you what information you're going to need to provide to them. They will fill out the application for you. You will get an email from a law firm that's doing this suit. And they will, that will tell you that you have been successfully registered, and they will make sure that you are eligible, but they're going to answer the questions to make sure that you are eligible. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing, I'll tell you what you need to tell them, the information that they said, that they told us that you need to provide to her. They will get the information from you. They will apply for you, and then you'll get an email saying that that it's been applied for you. That you've been qualified.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Before you come on, she is charging to do this. So it may cost you $100 per person, it may cost $200, but you're going to get $50K back. So she's actually charging for her knowledge to do this. Okay. So I wanted to make sure that I shared it with everyone, and that you especially for your family, that you apply and get the money. I'm sure your ministry could use it.
It could.
Amen. So that's why we're sharing it, as I said, I'm going to send this out to the general ministry. the people who are part of this ministry, but you who have been obedient and called in, like I asked, then you're getting this extra information. The stuff that I'm going to send out to everybody else will tell them that they can apply for this program. I'll give them the website. I'll give them another number that they can call. They'll take their information, but they may not go the extra mile that this other young lady is going. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you may not be qualified.
One more question. Is it not guaranteed? Like, if you do pay whatever they tell you to pay, $100, it's not guaranteed that you'll get money. Is that correct?
My understanding is going to be guaranteed that you get it. As long as you go through who I'm telling you to go through. Yeah, as long as you go through who I'm telling you to go through, my understanding is that you will be guaranteed to get it. If you do it on your own, you answer any of the questions wrong, then you'll be disqualified.
Okay.
So they know, you know, they know how to answer the question, and they won't even tell you what the questions are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They won't tell you what the questions are, but they will answer them for you and make sure that you get qualified.
Okay. All
now
right.
It's up to, you know, it's everybody whether they do this or not.
Okay.
You know, I've already done it for, or my wife already did it for myself, herself, our three children, and we've been qualified.
Okay. But you have not received no money yet.
You don't receive the money to the end of the year.
Okay.
That is the way the program is designed. They won't start handing out money until the end of the year.
Okay.
So I can send you, I'll put a link into the website that will explain it a little bit further, but they don't tell you on that website how to get the application. You have to call another number if you want to do it yourself. You can do it yourself. And they'll send you the application. You have to fill it out. But if you answer any of the questions wrong, they will disqualify you.
Yeah. And that's why they collecting the $100 fee, I guess, because they answering their questions.
Right. You know, they're doing the work, and they're going to make sure that you get qualified and that you will receive the money.
Okay. And you know these people? It's not a scam?
They applied for people back in 2011 from the state of Mississippi, and my wife knew about it back then, but she thought it was only for the people in Mississippi. So they personally know people who got $30,000, received $30,000 from this program, but then the program was closed down. And then it was reopened. You can read about the
all
program
right.
online. The program does
the
exist.
Thing.
Say that again?
Yeah, I'll send you the email for the information for me and Pastor.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to send you the email with the information. I don't want you sending me any of your personal information. Just send the email telling me that you want to apply. And I'll send you the information in the email, okay?
Okay.
I'll reply back with the email with the information you need, all right?
All right. God bless.
Okay. So, you know, if you don't trust it, you feel like it's a scam, then, of course, you don't have to apply. If you talk to the young lady and you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to apply.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you have to let your heart guide you. I'm just telling you that I know the program exists. I know that they're giving out money. I know that they selected groups to actually handle this. The USDA is not handling it for the simple reason they have been known in the past. They said that somebody outside the USDA had to handle this, okay? So they hired different law firms and such and what have you to handle this, the dissemination of these funds. And so the young lady, she has done this in the past. She knows the program. She knows what needs to be answered. She submits it to a law firm. They, put in the application, and then you receive the application has to be signed, so you will receive an e-sign from the law firm saying that, that your application has been submitted, and you sign the application, and then you go on the list to receive these funds. So this is compensation for past discrimination by the USDA. You're not taking out a loan. You're not applying for a grant. You're saying that you or your ancestors in the past were discriminated against to get a loan. And how they qualify you, I can't say. I know when I read it, I said if I was going to do it, this is what I would do. In order to make sure that you qualify, you want to go through her. If I knew how to do it, I'd say, come through me. So it can't hurt you to what, call her? And see if you want to apply. And as I said, I've already applied for, my family has applied. And we also did my wife's mother. I'm going to do my brother, my mother, and my father. And I'll have to look. I'll probably do my grandfather, my grandmother. Because it's anybody, it could be anybody in your family that may have been discriminated against, okay? To apply, but it's not free to apply. It's free for you to apply for yourself if you want to do your own application. Does that make sense? So you can say, hey, I don't want to pay anything. Just send me the application and we'll do it ourselves. They'll do that. Does that make sense?
Yes, they do.
You don't have to use her. Just know that if you do it yourself and you answer something wrong, then, they'll use it to disqualify you and you won't get any of the money. Well, I chose to go with her let them, they already been successful in the past. And do it that way. So let me.
So can I
email.
Apply for?
Go ahead.
Can I apply for like 3 or 4 different people at one time?
You can, as long as you can, as long as they're deceased. If they're not deceased, if they died after 1967. And they're in your family, and you want to apply on their behalf, you can. And you can receive the money. You will receive the money because they're deceased. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But you got to have a copy of, their death certificate. To do that. So you could apply for anybody in your family as long as they died as long as they died after 1967.
And their discrimination, do it have to, what did it, like, if they were discriminated with at their, could it be like the company that my father worked for, or?
No, this is really actually all associated with farming. But here's the thing, you don't have, you're not going to answer any of those questions, okay? You're not even going to say how you were discriminated against. They're going to answer those for you.
They know.
That's what you're paying for. Got it now?
Yes, okay. I got you. All right.
See, many of our people had land and we lost it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to make amends for all of that. But because white farmers, this originally started out where it was only for blacks, okay? But the white farmers put in a lawsuit saying that they were being discriminated against. Of course, the Republican senators came against it. And so they had to restructure this program, and now it's open to gays and, you know, gender, like white women. And that's traditionally what, you know, how they have kept money from us as blacks. And there are, you know, some white people on the line, and so don't get this wrong, but the USDA has traditionally discriminated against people of color. You could be qualified for a loan, and they just wouldn't give you the loan. And so in the document that I read to everybody here before you got here is that if you felt like you wanted to apply for a loan, but you talked to some people, let's say you talked to some farmers. Let's say that in the past you were thinking about going into farming and you wanted to get a loan to do farming, okay? You went and talked to some farmers and said, hey, we can't get no money from the government. We can't get no help. We apply for these loans and we never get help. So then you say, well, dag, I don't even want to apply that. I'm discouraged. Then you could probably qualify for this money, okay? But there's other questions that they ask that I don't know what those questions are, so I can't help you with the answers. But this young lady knows what they are. They know how to answer them, and they will do that for you. So have your son apply. Your sons are older than 27, right? If you got children that are older than 27, you want them to apply as well.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, we got it, brother.
All right, amen. So everybody that sent me an email, I've already replied to you. I've given you the information. As I said, I'm going to send this out to the rest of my congregation. Those that didn't show up, you know, hey, what can I say? They will get the information, but they will not get the contact information. They can apply on their own. Because this is inside information that, you know, we receive. And I want to be a blessing to all those who are obedient. Who Yah said, tell them to come, they came. Can't tell you what to do, can't make you do this. But you want to do it. Now, hopefully, I put in for a grant from the USDA for my organization, about almost $1 million to center the NRCS programs and to to promote their programs on our land. So we'll see what happens, whether they approve that or deny it. But, you know, we'll continue to apply for grants from the USDA in connection with the farm. You know, we will continue to offer the YFCC community to those who want to participate and contribute to this vision. And so that, you know, things, you know, they already know, and the reason why they're offering these programs, there are food shortages that are coming. By 2030, they say that the world population will be about 10 billion people. They will not be able to feed the masses, so they want, you know, people to start feeding themselves, start growing for themselves, so that you can, you know, grow your own food and take away some of the strain that's going to be on the world system. But there's other things coming. So imagine that there is a, like in California this year alone, with all the snow and all the rain, 5 million acres, crops ruined, strawberries and cabbage and lettuce and that kind of stuff. That stuff don't grow back overnight. And so there's going to be, you know, the inflation is already high. There is food and stuff in the grocery stores is already high, eggs and things like that. It doesn't take but a couple of natural disasters to make it where food is going to be unaffordable. And so, you know, we want to, if you're not growing your own food, and this is on another topic, another subject, but if you're not growing your own food here in the near future, you may not be able to afford a place to live and to eat. This is how bad they're projecting that it's going to get. And so you have to learn to grow food for yourself, or you're going to have to be able to pay those high prices. So, you know, Yah has told me that something is coming, and it's going to be very, very, very bad. He hasn't told me exactly what it is, but he said get the land and prepare. So that is what we have been about. That is what we are on. That is what we are doing. I could, you know, just use this information for the people who are participating in that. But, you know, Yah said don't do that. Share it with everybody that you know. Right now there's only one young lady that we know that's doing this. And if she becomes overwhelmed, then, you know, they might hire somebody to do it. I might hire my wife or what have you, or my organization. But, you know, right now she's the only one, and she's dealing with a law firm that is doing it. She says she can handle it now. But, you know, if I keep referring people to her, you start referring your congregation, so forth and so on, she may become overwhelmed, okay? And so, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you call her early, that you get in with her, that you get your stuff submitted, and then, you know, share the information with as many as you can. But at the same time, you know, those that are faithful to you, pastor in your congregation, you probably want to share it with them. At least they will probably pay you tithe if they don't do anything else. But, you know, so that they can, especially if they are of color, receive the money for their ancestors being discriminated against. But we want to, as a people, we want to become self-sufficient. We want to be where we are not relying on the system. And so that means growing our own food. It means having, you know, being able to produce our own electricity. But even if we can't produce our own electricity, because there may come a time where those technologies don't work. And so we have to be prepared to you know, live without power. Nobody can live without water. You know, you just can't do it. You know, the first thing anybody's got to have is water. You can go 30 or 40 days without food. You can't go 30 or 40 days without the Most High's help. I mean, seriously, you know, him sustaining you without water. Cannot do it. And so these things are coming. We know they're coming. We feel it. But, you know, where do we move? How do we move? What do we do? So that is what we have been on for the past 2 years. And this program right here, as far as Yes Run Farms Community Co-op, you know, the people that I have involved that are core, we've already agreed that, you know, we will share all our monies together. And we will do what Yah has said to do, okay? So that's what, you know, I'm going to be using these funds for. Whatever I receive will be to for the furtherance of that, so that we are ready whenever these events start happening, that we don't have to rely on the local economy for food. We don't have to rely on the local economy for subsistence, you know, and then we also have to be able to protect ourselves. Because, it, you know, whatever is coming, it's not going to be pretty. And what did you say, Pastor?
I was hearing that they just recently that a lot of different nations that are coming against the American dollar. They want to try to change that up, stop using that dollar.
Well, They want to stop using it. You know why they want to stop using it?
Which will make our money, which will make our dollar become no value, have no value to it.
Well, it'll have some value to it. It won't have the value that it has today. Okay, but the American dollar, every nation in the world today, if they want to buy oil on the international economy, if they want to sell goods and services on the international economy, they have to do that all in the American dollar. That's really the only thing that this country has going for it, because they send all the manufacturing jobs where? Overseas. So China owns all the manufacturing in the Far East, India, those countries where they have, you know, a lot of people and they can do stuff for cheap. America sold all of its manufacturing to those companies. But when it came down to the microchip and the chip that they put, like, in the vehicle, all our vehicles run off computers now. And China caused a shortage of those chips. For a while, they couldn't even make vehicles. So if we don't produce the computer chips that we use in our electronics, even the seeds, what I have found, the seeds that we use for our crops, they're not grown in the U.S. They're grown overseas. That's a problem. So if they say we're not going to no longer going to use the U.S. dollar as the currency to do trade, then now the U.S. is more the dollar becomes weak. We have to compete with other nations. That's what the whole U.S. stock exchange is about. It's trading stocks and currencies on the international market, and all of that money comes back through the U.S. stock exchange. From all the oil sales in the world, commodities, everything. Everything that's on those stock exchanges is done in U.S. dollars. So if they say we're no longer going to do business, we're no longer going to use the U.S. dollar as the standard. I forget what type of currency they call it. It's not fiat currency. Fiat currency is money that's not backed by anything. That's the U.S. dollar. It's not backed by gold anymore. So it's fiat currency. It's just money saying that it represents this amount of gold, but they don't even have that gold. So, but it's another name that they have for this that is slipping my mind right now. But all of that trade has to be done in U.S. dollars. So China would convert its currency to U.S. dollars, and they would buy oil. Russia, their rubles, convert it to U.S. dollars and buy whatever. That is the way it is now, and they don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to do it anymore. So that's what that is really all about. And so once they do that, everything in this country will become super expensive. Everything. Because they use that power with the U.S. dollar to keep prices down of gas, food that we import, everything. They use that power. So China is going to be a very big problem for the U.S. China has over a billion people. The U.S. is at 300 million. China is over a billion. So China has the potential, and they are quickly becoming this way, of being the next economic power with four times the U.S. economy. But that doesn't just go out as four times, it's exponential. And China is becoming just as technologically advanced as the U.S. And so this is going to be a very big problem. A very big problem for this country, but, you know, on a global scale. And so the U.S. is trying to do things to counteract that. But the truth of the matter is the world is about to change. And, you know, I won't say it's going to necessarily change for the better. It hasn't been, you know, we've been in a country that has been blessed, but it hasn't been blessed because it's been a good country. Been blessed because it used power to get that way, to topple government and all kind of things. And so we have to understand that, you know, you, sooner or later you have to pay the piper. We are in a country, and, you know, this is something that I wanted to talk about real quick. We are in a country, Mosai showed me this a long time ago, we are in a country, this is not a quote-unquote Christian country. Okay, this is not a Christian country, because if that was the case, we would have the national religion would be Christian. It's not. Even though the vast majority of the people in this country, quote unquote, are Christians, the country is not based upon Christianity. The country is based upon whatever you want to worship. You can worship. Doesn't matter. If it's an ashtray, you can worship it if you want to. It can be your God. And so that's the way the Constitution is written, the separation of church and state. Whatever you want to worship, you can worship. Just so happens that the vast majority of believers or people who practice a religion in this country, the vast majority of them would be, quote-unquote, classified as Christians. But modern-day Christianity does not follow the tenets of the Bible. They have made up a religion that is not really based upon the Bible. It's based upon cherry-picking scriptures out of the Bible and coming up with a doctrine. And they lump it up under Christianity. But to those people who know that they are descendants of the African slave trade, that our forefathers were brought into this country, into South America, mainly into this country in South America, but we are scattered throughout all the nations of the world through slavery, if you understand that, then you got to understand that the Most High, if you're in this country, and I can't speak for other countries, I can't speak for the U.S., those of us that are in the U.S., the Most High had us sent into a country where we are free to worship however we want to worship. And so if we don't worship the Most High the way he says to worship him, we really are without excuse. We are without excuse. Because he says, return unto me, obey my voice. Keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so how do you say to you love me and do not what I say do? So people believe that, modern day Christianity believes that and teaches that you don't necessarily have to obey the commandments of the Most High. They don't apply to you. Well, I've done about 15 lessons to show that they do. And I've done about 15 lessons to show that if you are saved or believe that you are saved, then you got to ask yourself, why does Messiah say this? Many shall come to me and say that they did miracles in my name, they cast out demons in my name, they did wondrous works in my name. And he says, get away from me. I never knew you. Who is he talking to? These are believers. They are casting out demons. They are performing miracle names. They believe in him. But there's something they're not doing. And it's something that it is critical that they do, and that's obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments. And its ordinance. That's what they're not doing. And so that's a problem. And so we live in a country where we can do exactly what the Most High said to do. And if we don't, then it's our fault for fail, because we can do exactly what he said to do. We don't have the government telling us, no, you can't worship. You can't worship Messiah. You can't keep the laws of the Bible. There's a state religion, and you got to worship this way. We have freedom. So I say for us, especially in the U.S., that we are without excuse. And we don't want to fall into the groups of believers in the scriptures. We don't fall in that group where Messiah said, hey, you did all this work in my name, and I never knew you. We don't want to fall into that group. We want to fall into the group that we're overcomers because we did what he said to do. We obeyed his voice, and we kept his commandments. We kept his feast day. We kept his Sabbath. All the things that he says that we must do. That modern-day Christianity is saying that you don't have to do because it didn't want to be like our forefathers. We don't want to be like those Jews, the real ones. We want to use them as a scapegoat. They crucified Messiah, but we don't want to be like them. But the Most High is waking us up and has awakened us. That we should tell the truth. That we should call all men back into fear of him. And that we should obey his commandments. If we are in the U.S., or as I'm concerned, we're not doing that, we are without a seat. Okay, and the Christianity that, quote-unquote, the doctrine, as Messiah said, accused Israel of doing it, but I see the same thing still happening today, following after the doctrines of men rather than the commandments of Elohim. Let me say that again. Following after the doctrines of men, the traditions of men, rather than the commandments of Elohim. That's what he accused Israel of. You following after the doctrines and the traditions of your forefathers, and by doing so, you are transgressing the commandments of the Most High. So we have to understand that and not be found guilty of that. Not be found guilty of that. And so in this country, I say especially in America, everywhere else it'll probably be super harder because they got the government, really interfering in that. But we live in a country that says you have the freedom to worship whatever you want to worship, how you want to worship whom you want to worship. And if the Most High says to worship him this way, we ought to worship him that way. Or else when he says, get away from me, I never knew you, you know, we're going to be without excuse because we had the opportunity to do so. And we really have the obligation to do so. So just wanted to bring that up because we want to, you know, we're living in a nation, and I know, you know, I'm going to say this, might piss some people off, but, you know, got to say it anyway. We are living in a nation of whore and whoremongers, okay? And our children are starting to have sex as children, you know, doing acts in the bathroom. Our young ladies getting pregnant and having babies out of wedlock. That means that they're having sex out of wedlock, our young ladies and our young men. And starting off just being in trouble with the Most High. We have got to teach them better. We've got to hold them accountable. And because we may have done these things, we can't say, well, you know, I know how it is. I did that too. I went through that. It's not really relevant because you're not supposed to be doing it now. And not supposed to be guilty of it now and not supposed to let it make you feel guilty now because you're not supposed to be doing it now. And so we have to hold, you know, raise a righteous generation to the Most High. Don't know when he's coming back. Don't know, you know, what all we're about to go through. I know that what we're about to go through is really bad. Don't know exactly when he's going to come back, but I know that he will come back before they have an opportunity to kill us all. Some of us don't die. That's a fact. And I'm not talking about natural death. I'm talking about dying in this world under attack by the enemy. A fact. But we got to be willing to do that. But most of all, we got to be willing to come to the Most High and do what he says to do and raise a righteous generation to him, men, young men and young women who have his standards, who love to obey him and keep his word and do it without fear. Do it without fear because, you know, if you came up the way I came up, you know, I was taught to chase skirts, to fornicate and, you know, and if it was adultery, okay, oh, well, ask forgiveness. It's not what the Most High wants. He don't want that. He's not going to accept that. And so as we went through the churches in Revelation and found out what the Most High said about each of those churches, the scriptures are not to non-believers. Let me say that again. The scriptures are not to non-believers. Their fate is already sealed. The scriptures are to believers. And the Most High groups those believers into two groups. Those who believe and do what he says to do, and those who believe and don't do what he says to do. They're both in his body. Both of those, they're believers. We don't want to fall into the group that say we believe in him but don't do what he says to do, that don't keep his commandments. But he said, I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind that you may do them. We don't want to fall in that group because he says, the vast majority of believers fall in that group. They say they love me, but they don't do what I say to do. But they're casting out demons. They're doing wondrous works. They are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, that you know, that just blew me away. Because how are you going to cast out a demon without being filled with the Spirit of the Most High? We in ourselves don't have power. No power at all. But imagine you've been casting out demons. You've been casting out unclean spirits. You've been healing the sick. You've been doing wondrous work. And you've been doing it in his name, so you know him. You accept him, you proclaim him, and then he says to you, turns around and he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. But didn't I do all these things in your name? He don't say they didn't do those things in his name. He says that they were lawless. Iniquity is lawless. You didn't do what I told you to do. I died for your sin. You didn't stop transgressing. You kept transgressing and then saying, I'm sorry. And that wasn't acceptable. So as, you know, we've been walking through these precepts and looking at just who the scriptures are talking to, it's not talking to unbelievers. It's talking to believers. And as believers, we want to make sure that we are not in the group that is saying we love him, saying we know him, but we're not obeying him. We have the power. We're doing the work. And he still says, I don't know you. That is scary to me. It's scary. And so we automatically want to, you know, lump those people into, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but, you know, I kind of always lump those people into unbelievers. But that's not what he's saying. These are believers. But they're not doing what he said to do. They are not, you know, it's like he came and they recognize him as Messiah. They are even filled with the Ruach. But they're not obeying his commandments. And with that, you know, I think if you go to Ezekiel 18, it might be Ezekiel 18 or 36. Don't quote me on this. You look in one of those chapters. And you'll see where he says, I'm going to write my laws. I will put my spirit within you that you might keep my judgment. My judgment. I have already judged in this matter. If this happens, I've already judged the matter. This is the sentence that you will carry out. This is the judgment. I'm going to put my spirit in you that you might do my judgment. What Israel wouldn't do. They went about to establish their own righteousness over his righteousness by saying, you know what? You said if a man or a woman do this, they were to die. Well, we don't think we want to kill them, so we'll come up with this sentence. Most of us said, I said they were to die. Well, we're not going to kill them. We're going to do this. Oh, so your righteousness is better than my righteousness, huh? This is what the Most High accused Israel of, and this is what the world is doing today. They are putting their righteousness over the righteousness of the Most High because they don't keep my judgment. And Pastor, you can answer this for me. Have you ever heard any Hebrew say, I keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, and the judgments of the Most High? Or do you just hear them say, I keep the statutes, laws, and commandments? Because that's what I hear people saying. But the Most High says, I'm going to write my laws in your heart that you might keep my judgment. Okay, so when he's saying that to the individuals, to the believers that are in his body, who claim to belong to him, when he says, you know, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, and these are believers, you know, it threw me for a loop. It really did. I'm like, wow. You know, I kind of thought these were, you know, you never consider really what he's actually saying until you really consider what he's actually saying. You were casting out demons. You were curing the sick. You were doing the miraculous in his name. And he still said, get away from me. That blew me away when he said, you know, these are believers. So the believers, you know, who he's looking for, the ones that are going to make it, are the believers that actually do what he says to do. You could be casting out demons. You could be feeding the hungry. You could be working miracles. You could be doing wondrous works in his name. You could say, I belong to him. Then you have to wonder, how can he say, get away from me? Get away from me. I never knew you. But I was doing all this stuff in your name. Get away from me. So as I've dug into this, found out that, you know, these are believers. What do they lack? They lack what is said to be agape love, the love of the Most High, and his love is his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, his judgments. I've given you my heart. This is my heart on these things. This is how I want. This is my heart on how I want you to live. This is my heart on how I love you or how I don't love you. I've given it to you, and you have to choose to obey it. You have to choose to do it. So many of us don't do it. And so, you know, we are without excuse in this country. And so we want to raise up a generation to the Most High in the name of Messiah, young men, young women who are taught correctly, about salvation, to do these things. And that's what the community is about, YFCC, that we might live in a place that, you know, we don't have to be influenced by the world. We are self-sufficient. And we're going to live by the commandments of the Most High, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments. Because this is what he commands that we do. And when the time of testing comes, he says, when the time of testing comes, if you're doing this, I won't test you. I will cause the temptation not to come upon you. But you're doing what I said to do. You have a little bit of strength if you do this. You have a little bit of strength. He don't say you all this and that and a bag of chips. So you have a little bit of strength. Hold on to it. You've been doing what I said to do. When the times of testing come, I won't send them on you. But if you're not doing this, the times of testing will come upon you, and your faith will truly be tested. And so, you know, we want to be found doing what we're supposed to do. We want to, you know, my vision that the Most High has given me is a nation of young men and young women that have been taught correctly, and they're growing up and living righteous lives unto him when he returns. And if it's not this generation or the next generation, what we are establishing is being established in a way to go on from generation to generation. Stop it up. If y'all choose not to come back in this generation, the next generation will carry it on. And they will be living righteous lives, both men and women. They will be raising righteous children unto the Most High. We have got to do that because since we came out of slavery, we have been in trouble. Before slavery, we were in trouble. When we got freed out of slavery, we carried that same slave mentality into our freedom, and the same spirit that our captors put on us, men and women, that, you know, if the slave master is telling you, you got to sleep with this person, sleep with my son, or you got to sleep with the stranger that visits my farm, my land. If he's coming in on our women and just laying with them because they belong to him, we didn't really have a choice in who we slept with. Men or women didn't have a choice in who we slept with. And the Most High said that's the spirit of boredom that he put on us because our forefathers went a-whoring after other gods of the Elohim, even in his own house. That's when he got angry. What, you brought all this stuff into my house? And I'm going to cause this stuff to come on you without mercy. Without mercy. And so if we know that, then the only cure for us as a people is to return to the Most High, truly in a humble spirit, in the spirit of humility, and to do what he said to do, to return unto him and to keep the promise, enter into the new covenant, and to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his dietary laws. Keep all those things and live the life that he wants us to live, that he might find when he returns. So that's what, you know, the community is about. That is what we are, you know, driving for the money, you know, on my part, is to further that vision, that we might live that way, and that, you know, if Messiah doesn't return in my lifetime, I pray that he does, but if he doesn't, that there's another generation that has been taught correctly, because I know for a fact that the churches are not teaching even salvation the way that the Most High said to teach it. They're not teaching, you know, they're not teaching about forgiveness of sin the way the Most High has said that it should be taught. You just can't come and confess willful sin. You get to do that one time in your life. One time you get to come and confess willful sin. And you can only confess willful sin. But you can only do that once. You can't do that, you know, every time you sin and say, oh, I'm sorry, and come and confess, especially if it was willful. Because you can do that one time in Messiah. You don't know, so you can't confess ignorant sin because you don't know you sinned. You don't know that thing is a sin because you're ignorant to it. But willful sin, it allows you to come and do that once. That's it, one time. That's his grace. But in the past, the Most High would kill us for that. You sin willfully, presumptuously to the Most High, in front of the Most High, then he would have you killed. Okay? He would have you killed, and you would die. Okay? There was no forgiveness for that in Israel. But under Messiah, he says you can come and do it once. Confess your willful sin, and I will forgive it. And then as you learn his statutes, his laws, and commandments, you learn them, and you find out that you are in transgression up under anything else, then you confess. And he says, and I am true and just to forgive you. But if it's willful after that, you know that it's sin, you can't confess that. He says, there's no blood for that. So we have to teach our young people, we have to teach this generation the correct way to come to the Most High. We have to teach them how to, you know, that what they can and cannot do. And we need to bring them into his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgment, him, that they tremble at his word, that they walk in his ways. So, you know, as I see this thing, that's what we must do. And if we don't do that, then we are really raising, no matter what we might think, we're really raising a group of people who have false salvation. They have false salvation. Okay? And so I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk in that. The Most High has shown me that the land that we are purchasing and doing, that this is what we're doing. And this is what its purpose is. And if he doesn't come back in this generation, the next generation is to carry it on. There has to be we have to start raising up righteous children to him. And we have the ability, but we have to do it. And we have to do it in the spirit of truth. So as he's showing me these things, and I'm documenting them, and I'm teaching them, you know, we also have to do them. And that's what everything is about. Pursuing that and doing it. So that if the Most High, if he comes back, because no man knows the hour or the day, I know the season, and I know that great tribulation is about to come on us as a people, that many of the things that our forefathers went through, we're about to go back through them again. And if we're not prepared for it, the Most High won't protect us in it. We'll fall up under the curse. And even he will kill us. So, you know, I pray that, you know, it's past the time, but I pray that everybody understands these things and that truly the fear of the Most High comes upon you. And that transgressing in his ways comes upon you, that you fearful of doing that. The fear of doing that comes upon you. And that you are convicted to, if not already, to live a life unto him the way that he says to live it. Not according to our own understanding, but he says, and not according to the doctrines of men, not according to the traditions of men. So all of these different Christian denominations that we have that believe, don't believe in the way, they're believing false doctrine, that you believe the word of the Most High, and that you understand the bottom line is, fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I pray that the information that we've given you this evening on how to, you know, the email that you got, call the young lady, just tell her that you're going to apply for that program, tell her that you know, tell the young lady that you were referred by Horace or Sharon Miles. She'll know what program that you're trying to apply for. She'll tell you how much it costs, and they will make sure that you get qualified. Okay? Let us bow our heads.
Hockey.
Father Yah, we come before you. Yes, sir.
You got me. I wanted to share that with you also, that it's a very serious matter that you were just speaking on, dealing with going before Yah and seeing many people he speaks to, telling them to depart from me. I never knew you. And these people, like you said, are doing things, prophesying or different, whatever, in his name, and have done different things, cast out devils and healed sick and different things. And this is something that's so serious, because it is very, very serious, because a lot of people are in that point of believing and following miracles and wonders more than following the complete oneness of the Most High Yah instructions. How important it is. Everything is already subject to his name. And that's why a lot of people see it, different beliefs. And you can get confused. You can end up following this, you know, these perverse, like Catholics or whatever. I'm just throwing some out. You can get confused and follow a perverse Catholic because you've seen something that was wondrous that happened in his name. Everything that's subject to his name is not really what you base salvation on. Those things are subject to do it. Those things are subject to heal. Those things are subject to be removed. His name. But the main thing is our obedience, our relationship that we are sure to have with the Most High Yah. There's so many denominations, so many different beliefs, different things that's out here now, and you know, it's scary, because we know right now the Most High today, there's only one way, and Yah is that way. There is no other way.
Amen. Amen.
That's scary. That's scary. And I mean, everybody, come on, they got their belief and their one way, and it's, and find out there's only just one way that we have to follow. We must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves and really put ourselves in a place where we are become more obedient to the Most High will and what He desires out of us.
It's amen. I would say that to become completely obedient to His will and His word. Amen.
Yes.
I agree with you 100%, my brother. It is an absolute must, and there is only one way. There's not two ways. There's only one way.
We must show great honor to the Father. We got to have honor, great honor to our Father Yah. We must show that honor before Him. And we must glorify Him. He must be glorified. He must be acknowledged that this is the only way. I mean, we came, like I said, everybody, all this opinions and people say my revelations and they don't make no sense.
Amen. I agree with you. As I said, I have about, right now I'm up to about lesson number 15 on false salvation. Things that people are doing, believing that they're saved, but the scripture says that they are not. And so, and these are all beliefs. I'm not talking to people who don't believe, but people who believe and they're still not doing what the Most High said to do. Okay, and they're not going to be overcomers, but they're going to fall short. So, you know, we want Yah to open people's hearts, open their eyes, open their ears, and to put the fear of Him in them so that they fear transgressing His laws, that they fear that they do what He says to do, even if they personally can't agree with it. Even if they personally can't agree with it, to walk in His law. Because I know that there's people who, you know, they are personally against some of His laws. But the truth of the matter is, they're the Most High's laws. And we have to be obedient to them, you know. And we may not understand it. We may not, you know why. But with the Most High, the question is not to know why, but to be obedient. If you know this is what you're supposed to, then you need to do it. Bottom line, need to do it. And hearken unto His voice. Listen to what He says and do it with all your heart. I have to put everything into this. So, you know, I'm praying that the Most High opens all people's eyes to this, that especially those who say they walk in truth and are able to receive it, that their eyes and their ears are open and they are given understanding to do this. But I know that won't happen, because He said it won't. But I still make that prayer so that anybody that He calls, if they hear these messages, that they get a fear of Him and that they walk in His ways, period. Because that is what He's telling me, and that is what He's saying we must do. And we have to raise a generation. We have to raise a generation that doesn't have the same spirit that we had on us. We didn't have the spirit on the Most High on us. We had to receive it, but we want a younger generation to receive it earlier, to do it, to receive the Spirit of the Most High, and then to do what He says to do, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments. You know, and it must happen, or you know, we are just a completely lost. So with that being said, my brother, I'm not going to hold everybody up because we are at 2.5 hours. We got a little bit late start, but we're at 2.5 hours now. Everybody has the information. I'm going to send out the email to the group. It will not have the contact information in it. It will have, you know, the website where they can go, and I will provide them another number that they can call and apply to, But you guys, because you were obedient, you received the information that you need to do to get your application submitted correctly. Amen? So, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. All right, amen. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Enjoy the rest of your evening. Peace to you all. Shalom, my sister Mary. Peace and blessings.